Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.
Mary had a little man.
The fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show. Turn up your mind.
You find out that the investigation is shutting down and this Republican report is finding no collusion by the president.
Well, and this is sort of typical these days. I found out by reading in the newspaper. The Republicans leaked it to the press before even informing us. But, Don, it doesn't come as a complete surprise. The Republicans have said for some time they're under immense pressure to shut down the investigation. And it was apparent really from the very beginning, from last March when our chairman went on that midnight run to the White House, that their real object was protecting the president. It wasn't doing a credible investigation. And so they went through the motions of bringing witnesses in, and we learned a great deal through those witnesses. But when we needed to compel them to answer questions, when people like Steve Bannon would Stonewall or Corey Lewandowski or others, all too often they were willing to accept no for an answer. They would ask, you know, very conclusory questions like, did you conspire? Did you conclude? And if they said no, the Republicans were content to leave it at that. That's not conducting an investigation. That's going through the motions. So the fundamental problem from the beginning was that my colleagues viewed their job as protecting their client, the president, rather than getting to the truth. And I think that's a grave disservice to the country.
Your kid, I mean, of course, that's Adam Schiff. And he's here somewhere. He's here in Palm Beach. You know that? Because that backdrop, that was Palm Beach Gardens. I'm like, please come and pay us a visit. We're just, you know, right down I-95 from you. I mean, like literally 10 minutes. 10 minutes south.
This is like the third time I've seen him on the TV from Palm Beach Gardens.
I don't know. But we should reach out to his office and say, you know, next time you're in the area, let us give you lunch. A little lunch is good. We have iced teas. We have water. We have coffee. Today's Brett's birthday. So, you know, if I would have done we would have had donuts, but we don't because the donut shop was sold out because they sell these artisan donuts. See, this is the artisan donuts are like the new craft beer places, right? Of the aughts. Now, you know, in the teens, you have artisan donut shop and they sell out like by 8 o'clock in the morning. They make a bacon donut I wanted to get for Brett. Because what's better than fried bacon? I mean, nothing, right? Except herky jerky is good. But, you know, maybe I could give them some herky and have them put that inside. Ooh. Oh, an elk donut. Okay. I digress. But, Adam, anytime, Congressman Schiff, if you're in the neighborhood, we've got plenty. So come visit us and we'll feed you. We'll feed you. We'll love you. You know, we'll give you a microphone and you can sit there and go through my collusion list and tell me if I'm wrong is what I need to know. Am I wrong when I say it is patently obvious that the Trump campaign was taking help from the Russians, that they asked for help from the Russians out loud in public, that there are tapes of Roger Stone saying he did talk to Julian Assange, that Steve Bannon got to show up and hand the House Intelligence Committee, supposed to be doing oversight on the executive branch, and Bannon gets to hand them 25 questions. The answers to all of those are no. Let me go home now. I mean, this is just so ridiculous. And of course, you know, this ties into Rex Tillerson's State Department debacle. The guy was so bad at his job, but then, of course, we knew he would be. And we told you that this cabinet of Trump's was bizarre. We got Mick Mulvaney doing double duty, right? Double duty because he can't even fill the seats anymore. So now we've got some nondescript congressman from Kansas heading up the freaking State Department, which Rex Tillerson hollowed out. We don't even have any Russian speakers that can, you know, sit on that wall and tell us whether or not the Russians are hacking us. I mean, they were appropriated money. And Rex Tillerson spent $0, hollowed out the entire State Department. The GOP is so full of crap that they want to concentrate on protecting the 18 election. That's why they shut this thing down, because they want to focus on protecting the 2018 election. You know, there's a special election going on right freaking now. Right freaking now. They've done nothing. They've done, you know, not one of the 23 analysts that work in the department's Global Engagement Center, okay, speaks Russian. Not one person. They have yet to spend any of the $120 million in the State Department. They have been allocated $120 million since 2016 to counter foreign efforts to meddle in the elections or sow distrust in our democracy. And Rex Tillerson made sure that not one dime got spent. Not one. We have a freeze on hiring at the State Department while he fires people, so you can't bring in new people. And of course, we can't promote anybody because there's a promotion freeze in place as well. And so we have the Global Engagement Center, which is located somewhere in a dank basement in Washington. Seriously. And not one person speaks Russian. Not one person. Thanks, Rex. It's Rexit, everybody. Rexit. We spend billions of dollars on cyber capabilities, but everything that we have done has been ineffective against Russian efforts on freaking Facebook and Twitter, and apparently direct messages between Junior and Roger. And, you know, we can't just subpoena, we can, but Congress won't use their subpoena power, so we don't get to see those direct messages. They just conclude everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. The Global Engagement Center is responsible for assessing the Russian efforts, and then they're supposed to set about amplifying a different set of voices to counter them. Maybe anti-propaganda would be good here. One of the people, the Secretary for Public Diplomacy under Obama, said, quote, "There are now thousands of former Russian journalists who have been exiled or fired, who are doing counter-Russian stuff in exile, who could help us," said one Richard Stengel, Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy in the Obama administration. He had oversight over the Global Engagement Center. And he said, you know, at the end of the Obama administration, Congress appropriated they directed the Pentagon to send $60 million to the State Department so it could coordinate government-wide efforts, including Defense Department, Department of Homeland Security, to counter Russia's propaganda, separate and apart from the other government actions like cyber attacks. And Tillerson sat around for 7 months and twiddled his thumbs trying to decide whether to spend any of the money. The State Department finally sent the request to the Defense Department on September 18th. All right, transfer the funds. The Pentagon said, well, it's the end of the fiscal year. You lost your shot at the money. We're not sending it. There was another $60 million that were available for the next fiscal year. Pentagon, State Department, they go back and forth for another 5 months. How much could the State Department have? The New York Times issues a report in August and starts asking, where's this money? The State Department was allocated all this. Where's the money? Where's the money? The Pentagon goes, all right, we'll transfer $40 million. That is one third of what was intended to be sent to the State Department so that they could hire some Russian speakers, look at some former Russian journalists in exile who want to work against the Russian state. Then the State Department said, all right, well, we expect to receive the money in April. Steve Goldstein is a guy, he's the Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy. He said he would contribute $1 million from his own budget to kickstart the initiative quickly. He said, quote, this funding is critical to ensuring that we continue an aggressive response to malign influence and disinformation, Goldstein said. And then somebody, a top official in the Defense Department named Mark Mitchell, said, well, we're still wrangling. We know we promised them $40 million to transfer to the State Department. We're still a ways off. We're still a ways off. Congress is infuriated because that funding was approved with bipartisan support. And still, Rex wouldn't, get it. He wouldn't. I mean, and the DOD is still arguing with. It's unbelievable. And so you have it's well past time that the State Department's Global Engagement Center gets the resources Congress intended for it to effectively fight Kremlin-sponsored disinformation and other foreign propaganda operations, said Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey, the top Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. This is unbelievable. And, most of the center's leaders are working on they're temps. I swear to God, there are temps that are working in the Global Engagement Center because Rex Tillerson wouldn't promote anybody. The analysts work in a warren of cubicles in the basement of a tired building that once housed the Office of Strategic Services, the World War II predecessor to the CIA. Get right on that, Pompeo. The analysts are divided into five teams. They work in four languages. Arabic, Urdu, French, and Somali. That is a small fraction of what Congress envisioned when they appropriated $120 million for this. James K. Glassman, the Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy during the Bush administration, said the center's uncertain funding and temporary leadership reflects the administration's lack of interest in countering either jihadist or Russian propaganda. Quote, they've got the vehicle to do this work in the center, Mr. Glassman said. What they don't have is a Secretary of State or a president who's interested in doing this work. Instead, Rex Tillerson is drastically shrinking the department, leaving a significant part of its budget unused and hundreds of important decisions unmade. Last year, the State Department spent just 79% of the money that Congress authorized for the conduct of foreign affairs, the lowest such level in at least 15 years and well down from the 93% spent in the final year of the Obama administration, according to an analysis of data from the Office of Management and Budget. And now there are hiring and promotion freezes that have left large sums unspent, as well as Mr. Tillerson's refusal to delegate spending decisions. Apparently, the department has a backlog of more than 1,400 official requests for Mr. Tillerson to sign off on, according to a former senior diplomat who left the department. They also say Rex never answered phone calls. Rex didn't do, he presided over 30% cuts in the State Department's budget. That money was being poured into the Pentagon, and that the Pentagon was supposed to transfer the money to state, and Rex Tillerson didn't even want the money, or he wasn't fighting for the money. He was like, oh, just, don't send. And hollowing out the State Department, and calling the president a moron, saying that, and then the president tweets at Rex, they're trying to set up a meeting with North Korea is a waste of time. So far we've gone through a national security advisor who's pled guilty, a chief of staff, a couple of chief of staffs. I think Kelly's about to go too. I really do. I think that, Trump and Kelly are at it. You got a chief strategist gone. You got the press secretary gone, two White House communications director, a secretary of Health and Human Services, and now the secretary of state. And none of them were any good at their jobs to begin with. They say Tillerson's tenure was a reign of poor oversight over the State Department. He failed to quickly pick a trusted team of leaders. He left many critical departments without direction and paralyzed crucial decision-making in the department. He approved one global conclave in Washington 8 days before the event was to start, ensuring that few leaders from around the world were able to attend. He rarely sat for comprehensive briefings with his top diplomats. He failed to consult the State Department's experts on countries he was visiting. Foreign diplomats, starting with the British and the French, said Mr. Tillerson never returns phone calls. He doesn't set up meetings with much advance warning with his counterparts, and they can't, schedule these meetings. He said he's never had any strategic dialogue with, nuclear weapons powers like Pakistan. He had a meeting on the calendar, and he ended that meeting without explanation. His lone top aide has also resigned alongside of him today. I mean, this is unbelievable. And it's like the president of the United States can't do what Saddam Hussein did, which was take all his cabinet members and march them out into the back of the room in public and then take them to another room and execute them. Trump can't do that. So he just fires them all. He hires the worst people. I mean, come on, Betsy DeVos. Did you see that? I mean, we played a clip. She had no idea what goes on in schools. She had no idea why her Michigan, her beloved Michigan, her home state, is doing so poorly in the field of education. And it's because she took the money out of the public schools and put it into private schools and left like one high school open. I mean, it's just, it's a nightmare. These kids are underperforming on grade level tests. And she said, maybe I should visit the underperform. You know, I intentionally didn't go there. I don't want to visit underperform. I don't want to know. What is this? Go to RandyRhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.